Welcome to Between the Lines. Listening to literature online. This is show number 125. Think outside the cage, a way of waking up to the very life we're living. Way back, show number 33 was the first episode or edition of this show. That was my knee cracking. A tribute to John Cage, who did much experimental stuff in music and really stretched the artistic and real life consciousness. So he was definitely a think outside the box type of guy, and he's worth checking out. And so with the new book coming out, being at the printer as I record this, didn't really feel like doing a show, but then just decided, hey, we'll just turn on the recorder and see what happens. And that's what the show is, actually not planned. And it starts off with a small stretch of quiet, not much going on, so just hang in there and it'll kick into gear. And there's hardly any editing done, if any, so any kind of stray sound effects, this and that, that normally would get edited are left in, because that is part of that flow that John Cage exemplified, where art and life kind of merge as one. Hence that subtitle, A Way of Waking Up to the Very Life We're Living, which I can't remember where, but I think it's a John Cage line. This is your host, Monk. Thank you for listening. powerful solar storm sparked stunning aurora around the world. A severe solar storm created a stunning display of light in the night sky over parts of the U.S., Europe, Australia, and New Zealand early Wednesday. Spotted by those lucky enough to be awake in the wee hours, called Aurora Borealis in the northern hemisphere and Aurora Australis in the southern hemisphere, the lights were the product of large geomagnetic blasts from the sun that arrived Tuesday about 10 a.m. Most of the time, auroras appear green when these particles collide with oxygen in the atmosphere, but there were reports this past Aurora Australis also appeared to have a reddish tint, which suggested the collision with the high-altitude oxygen was also seen on Earth. So it's very scientific. This is CNN reporting. Blessings to the people. Report of 19 Tunisia museum attack kills at least 19. Three gunmen sought. Interestingly, at the Bardo Museum in Tibetan, the Bardo is the various states of consciousness after the person or soul or whatever leaves the body. Tunisia was where the quote Arab Spring, which has turned out not to be, well, that's debatable, but Egypt's been sort of taken over. So the Arab Spring, whatever, but Tunisia is where the Arab Spring anti-government protests spread through the Middle East and North Africa sparked revolutions in some of those countries took root. In December of 2010, a poor 26-year-old man set himself on fire in front of a Tunisian government building that month after police confiscated his vegetable cart, sparking protests. That is, he is listed in the Haiku calendar. His name, Mohamed Bouazi, Tunisian fruit and vegetable vendor. Sort of reflects some of the global corporate crazy news we sometimes read about people in apartment spaces. You know, they can't grow, they can't put a certain icon or a Saint Francis statue in their yard, or they can't grow vegetables in their this, that, whatever. So it's interesting how much those small things seem to threaten some people. Well, here it says, the idealism engendered by the Arab Spring has mostly sunk in bloodshed and extremism, with a shiny exception, Tunisia, the magazine wrote. This is 2014. Its economy is struggling and its polity is fragile, but Tunisia's pragmatism and moderation have nurtured hope in a wretched region and a troubled world. So, it's always worth checking out the politics, the possible false flags, and seeing what happens in a country to see how much the attack is really a terrorist or a proxy terrorist, if that's a phrase. But meanwhile, sad for the people having to deal with all that stuff. And here's an article from Prison Planet, which is sometimes way out there, but oftentimes they do break interesting stories. Tunisia attack has roots in NATO's destabilization of Libya. Group likely to be behind siege was hired by U.S. State Department to defend Benghazi consulate. The attack on a museum in the capital of Tunisia has its roots in NATO's destabilization of neighboring Libya, during which terrorists affiliated with Al-Qaeda were armed and funded in the effort to topple Colonel Gaddafi. The work is probably the attack of Ansar al-Sharia, a militant terror group associated with Al-Qaeda that was also blamed for the 2012 Benghazi attack. And he gives a bit of history there. These same terrorists flew the Al-Qaeda flag over courthouses in Benghazi, the same flag now being flown by ISIS, and imposed Sharia law while transforming Libya from a relatively prosperous and thriving nation into a brutal hellhole run by tribal warlords and jihadists. Although Tunisia is perhaps the only Arab Spring nation to have not gone into meltdown as a result of jihadists expanding their influence across the region, and is now being targeted by the same terrorists who came to prominence as a consequence of the West's disastrous policy of toppling secular leaders by supporting radical Islamists in Libya and Syria. That is coming, report coming from Paul Joseph Watson, who's pretty reputable as far as I know on the Prison Planet site. Interesting there that Tunisia is perhaps the only nation, Arab nation, not to have gone into meltdown. And then there's a terrorist attack, so that would take more research and timing. This is sort of how the typical news exploration and searching goes when I'm online or just have some time in between. Sometimes things get followed right away, other times a note, and then follow it later. And a little pseudo-amusing headlines. Social justice Puritans convince artists to pull Batgirl comic book cover. Another day, another ridiculous controversy generated by feminists and the social justice crowd. And Friday, we'll see three rare celestial events: solar eclipse, supermoon, and spring equinox. As the eclipse plunges the UK and other places into darkness, quote-unquote, this Friday, two other rare, if less spectacular, celestial events will be taking place too, a supermoon and the spring equinox. A supermoon or perigee moon happens when the full or new moon does its closest flyby of the Earth, making it look bigger than it normally does. And the spring equinox refers to the time of year when the day and night are of equal duration, midway between the longest and shortest days. The solar eclipse refers to a phenomenon where the sun and moon line up so that the latter obscures the former, and while it won't be affected by the two other events, it is rare that the three events happen even individually. We got a new moon, the equinox, and the eclipse. And the perigee, I looked those up. I don't remember that being there. Maybe in the UK, I don't know. Anyway, interesting thing how, you know, sometimes science or news has a different angle than, say, all my relations, where they say, and while it won't be affected by the other two events, well, maybe. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. How do you know that the moon and the sun and these all that is going on, is not, they're not affecting each other? and the photo caption at the actual news site, The Independent. Eclipses have long been feared as bad omens, but the equinox is celebrated as a time of renewal. And there's an amazing, actually quite amazing photo of the moon right behind some kind of building. I find eclipses a time just to be cautious, to realize that things are sort of on a low or downside, whatever you want to call it. Okay, the full moon, maybe that, I was thinking of the sun, the perigee, that's something, there's another one, apogee and perigee, I think that's closest and farthest, but they're talking about the moon. Supermoons, 3 and 6 supermoons a year. The others, next will take place in March. Yeah, that's the one coming up, the day of the eclipse. The others will come in August, September, and October. Eclipses can only happen at new moon when the moon appears. When the moon appears, is entirely in shadow. And the spectacular supermoon images that are often spotted can only happen when the moon is full. So I'm confused if there's a super moon, but it's a new moon. Anyhow, we're just freewheeling it, so whatever. And that's the mouse sound there, the scrolling. And the spring equinox here, they mentioned, linked to Easter and Passover. So there you have that interesting, where news kind of touches on trying to show you the connection with pagan, ancient pagan associations and connections and rituals and the more modern religious structures. Yeah, sometimes if I'm reading and I find something, I don't know what's going on, I'll then go search, look up Wikipedia. Supermoon. Supermoon is a coincidence of a full moon or a new moon, with the closest approach the moon makes to the Earth on its elliptical orbit, resulting in the largest apparent size of the lunar disk as seen from Earth. The technical name is the perigee syzygy of the Earth-Moon-Sun system. P-E-R-I-G-E-E hyphen S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y of the Earth, Moon, Sun system. There we have the hyphenated Earth, Moon, Sun system, which reminds me of having learned some words in Lakota where definition where the female energy is akin to life-giving motion to Earth, Sun, Moon, and the male energy is more connected with sun, with the stars. So Earth, Sun, Moon, and this one says Earth, Moon, Sun. Interesting. So I find that stuff interesting, how you can see something in a very informational sector that reminds me of something more linguistic or esoteric. And the term supermoon is not astronomical, but originated in modern astrology. Well, what they don't tell you is, that was a kitchen noise, made me stop and turn my head. What they don't tell you is that astronomy came from astrology way back. So you got to take Wikipedia when it comes to anything esoteric or spiritual, I find. You got to take Wikipedia with a large grains of salt. Oh, I see. Supermoon images that are often spotted can only happen when the moon is full, since it can only be seen then, not that the supermoon can't happen. So, you know, sometimes you gotta read. You gotta really read and see what's said sometimes to know what's going on in the context of stuff. And another wacky news story I read today, McDonald's. Let's see this. Last summer, the city of Seattle passed a law that will raise the city's minimum wage to $15 per hour. But in a bizarre twist, Ronald McDonald and friends are really, just research this, the real name is McDonald's Corporation, at least according to Wikipedia. Ronald McDonald and friends are suing the city. On March 10th, they'll be in a federal courtroom complaining that the new minimum wage violates a constitutional provision that was written to protect newly freed slaves after the Civil War. That amendment was passed in 1866 to ensure equal rights for the freed slaves, and it says that no state may deny to any person the equal protection of the laws. According to the Hamburglar, treating a franchised business differently from a local business violates this equal protection clause. This is ever since, you know, corporations are considered a person, which somewhat recent, but yet somewhere else I had recently read it actually goes back, I think, 1900s or even 1800s or something like that. Anyway, the craziness of that the corporation is appealing the law on by calling themselves a person, and that a law that was written to protect the newly freed slaves. I mean, it makes the term slave labor or slave wage just turns that phrase on its freaking head. This is all so they don't have to pay their workers a minimum wage cost. So, anyway. All right, the background noise, which usually gets filtered out for the shows, is the furnace. As it's still a bit chilly here, just before spring, and even sometimes right after spring, it can be quite chilly. But it's lighter out, the birds are singing more, and all in all, the cold, snowy, mostly February into March part of winter is waning, pretty much done. There's a few bits of snow around, but nothing much. So anyway, and I'll just footnote some of what watching and listening to John Cage does to me is it reminds me of that. It could be applied to life in general, but I'm thinking of the artistic creative process, is that there are many times of feeling lost or incomplete, searching for the, you know, the answer or the next riff or whatever it is. And so when I see John Cage sort of plucking on a cactus string with a feather, that kind of thing, it reminds me that, you know, sometimes I'll go out on the patio in the warmer weather and just look at the flowers or touch something, and that's, in a way, that's part of that. It's life, but it's also sometimes part of that creative process. It'll help me discover what the next thing is or give me the next idea. So I think there's different ways to view John Cage. You can, if you just critique him on the entertainment level, you're likely to be disappointed. Whereas if you see him as a sort of, see him as a kind of Zen artist, puts it in perspective. Thanks for going along for this spontaneous show ride. Thanks. Happy spring and have a good one. Yeah, we'll go out with a few minutes. This is on YouTube. John Cage playing amplified cacti and plant materials with a feather.
It's been said that listening to John Cage's music is like chewing sand. Well, I'll leave that up to you and your teeth to decide. Meanwhile, we've been seeing and hearing simultaneously a performance by the German artist Joseph Beuys and two pianists from Turkey. Mr. Beuys is the provocative leader of conceptual and performance art movements. He's also a fellow who occasionally performs with horses on stage and whose favorite sculpture materials are animal fat and felt, none of which he's using at this moment. Although Mr. Cage here has improvised with many unusual instruments, I don't believe he has ever improvised with my specialty, violin, created at this very instant by Pierre Alain Hubert from just outside the Pompidou Center in Paris. And so from Paris, fire away.
And one more short, really short piece, couple minutes, called Sonata 5. It says, Sonatas and Interludes for Prepared Piano by John Cage. And from the video, it looks like it's in the key, in the strings are screws and those little plastic things you screw into when you're going into drywall. So they've altered the sound of the piano.